Now I'm going to talk about something called the normal order of time and the abnormal order of time. Now, what we're going to do now is look at what I would call a normal sequence. Let me just introduce one thought before I do that. I want you to consider that the blurry grapes represent objects that haven't yet manifested as being in existence. If you will, they're in that realm which is where you are, which is beyond space and time. And I want you to think of an object which is focused on, which is one single circle, one dark circle. I want you to think of that as something that is in space and time. So it's in space and time when it's focused on, and then it blurs out of space and time when it's not focused on. You got the idea? This is carrying it to an extreme, and there are all sorts of shades of gray, literally, between these two extremes. But let's stay with the extremes because it's easier to understand if we do. The key basic axiom of the creation of time and the ability to time travel is that any sequence of three subspace-time sites in which a focal point is included is labeled a triplet, and a normal time order emerges from a triplet in any sequence when the larger blur is considered to be first, the focal point second, and a smaller blur third. Large blur first, focal point second, small blur third. That presents a unit of time, a small window, if you will, of time, upon which, if we construct events following along that line, we will have a time order emerging. This is what I call the emergence of time from the realm which is beyond space and time. In terms of squaring and unsquaring, focal points are squared and unfocused points are blurred or unsquared. So we have, in any sequence of three of these things, we have two unsquared versus one squared. Now, one squared is in the middle, and that represents a normal unit of what we call time. Okay? Let me give you an example. Suppose someone flips a coin. At this point, while the coin is flipping over and spinning around, the possibility of it landing one way or the other is pretty, either way, both possibilities are equally likely, and it's going through its gyrations, and so we're in the land of the unsquared, but then the coin lands. And the person who flipped it observes which side it's up, but he doesn't tell you. Now you have more certainty about the coin. You know exactly where it is, and you know that it has been observed, and it lies with either heads or tails up. Even though you don't know, the coin definitely has one side or another up. So now it's landed into probability. It's probability of one half being heads and one half being tails. For you, it's shifted from the realm of possibility to the realm of probability. In this example, the gyrating coin corresponds to the earlier blur, the precedent blur, it's called. Observation of the coin corresponds to a focus, and the coin after it lands corresponds to a posterior blur, which is more focused on when the coin was in the air. But since you don't know about it, or since it now could change through some other means which we don't know about, but not as much of a change, it's if it landed heads, it's probably going to stay that way, the posterior blur is not as large as the precedent blur. Okay, what we learn to do and what we do when we time travel is we create sequences or scenarios of triplets. And this scenario or sequence of triplets follows for us or creates for us or gives us a storyline or a time order emerging. What we call a normal time order emerging is a sequence which starts out with a large blur and ends up with a small blur interspersed with focal points. And as we draw a line from one through the other, always going from large blur to small blur to small blur to small blur to smaller blur to smaller blur, keep going in that sequence, what we see is a sequence of events we call normal time. And what that normal time sequence represents to us is ourselves learning to do a new thing or the construction of an habitual behavior. On the other hand, if we can now learn to do this in reverse, we start out with more certainty, but each time we let go, we let go, we let go. And as we do let go, as the sequence goes from less uncertain to more uncertain, interspersed with focal points, what we're doing there is unlearning something. We're letting go of a previous conditioning. We are unhabituating ourselves. We are opening ourselves. This is like the breath going out, whereas the other sequence is the breath coming in as you're coming to a focus. The natural course of events, if there was no focal points created at all, would be helter-skelter. There would be no way of knowing which came first, chicken or egg, whether time is going forwards or backwards. We wouldn't have the foggiest, because there wouldn't be any we-ness to know. There wouldn't be any knower, so there wouldn't be any time. There wouldn't be any way of there being time. Just things getting blurrier, things getting unblurred, random helter-skelter, what we would call the state of perfect chaos, in which nothing is for certain, but there are little pockets where things are more certain than they were before, but still, nothing is being connected. No dots are being connected together. It's like one of those children's drawings that you get where you number the dots and you connect them up, and from that comes a picture. There's no order to connecting the dots. If you get one of those connected dot pictures, by the way, try drawing the connections by, instead of drawing going 1 to 2 to 3 to 4, go 1 to 3 to 5 to 7 to 9 or something like that, and then come back and fill in 11 to 13, you know, mix it up a little bit and see what emerges. A different pattern, a different picture will come out as you change the way and you connect the dots. The same thing happens to us if we change the way we connect up these various points of unsquareness, these blurry points. If we connect them up by focal points in different ways, we create for ourselves literally time travel, because we're creating the order in which time is happening. For us, this is what we do. From your birth until the moment of your death, you will believe that the world around you most likely, maybe even insist, you'll be living your life along a timeline pointing to it to an ever-increasing time and to old age. But from what we've been learning here, that line has several loops in it, allowing you, in the process of squaring and unsquaring, to move forward or backward in time while the remaining world does what it darn well wants to do. You don't have to follow along. You can become a time traveler by learning how to do this very first process, which is being, observing with no focus, and then focusing. Anything you're working on, a thought, a book, a painting, your checkbook, I don't care what it is, if you can just hang with it, without focusing on it, you are relaxing or moving into negative time. You're moving backwards through time while you're doing that. And the minute you start focusing again, you're going forward through time. In other words, you're the creator of your time sequence. You're the creator of the space and time in which you yourself carry out your events. Okay, let me summarize before we get into a process on this. I explained to you that time order, or the ordering of events of your life, don't necessarily have to follow what is known as the normal course of events. In other words, what we're saying here in conclusion is that time order is something which is a personal thing. It's a subjective thing. It's your river of time we're talking about, and it doesn't necessarily go along with the external world's river of time. It has its own river of time, and you are part of it to a large extent, but there are reversals that you can carry out, time travel journeys that you can do, which take you out of that stream for moments of rejuvenation. Normally, we think of the normal process as energy losing through friction, like in a machine's operation. And we think of time being that which goes into more and more chaos, more and more friction, more and more heat escaping, and so forth. That's called thermodynamic order of time. But as an observer, what you're doing is actually reversing that, which is sometimes also called the law of entropy. You're reversing that law. You're actually bringing order into the world. And as you bring order into the world, you're creating a movement forward in time in which the universe is getting, for you, more ordered rather than getting more chaotic. So it's when you let go and you let things go that you begin to go back into the chaos, but not chaos in a negative sense, chaos in the more possible, more probable sense, more possibility sense. So this is the basic thing. In summary, when an unsquaring occurs, a letting go or some kind of release occurs, and the system temporarily goes backward. You experience this as a baby when you were constantly opening your mind to learn something new in order to understand the environment and grow up. The letting go takes place when you return to this childlike state. Instead of maximizing disorder, which implies decrepitude, it's simpler, more probable, and therefore more creative when you bring the order into it. So this is where time travel begins to take place. You let go to get back, then you recreate to go forward again.